Hey, hey, people of Earth, it's time to enter the Spoilerverse via our secret portal at the exclusive Arctic Club in beautiful downtown Seattle with our hosts, John and Kenrick. Welcome to Spoiler Country.
Hey, if you're listening to our show for the first time and you're on one of the social medias that we're on, like Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, any of those kinds of things, you should always check us out on Spoilerverse.com. But if you want to keep up with our latest episodes, you should bring out your smartphone, get into your favorite podcatcher, find Spoiler Country, and hit subscribe. Then you'll get all our new stuff.
And if you want to reach out to us, you can do that in two ways. You can call us, leave us a voicemail at 707-656-2080. Again, 707-656-2080. Or you can shoot us an email at spoilercountry@gmail.com.
Welcome back to Spoiler Country. I'm Melissa Sercha.
And I am Johnny Horsley, or John Horsley, or Jay Horsley, or pick a name with a J, and that's me.
Welcome back. Welcome.
Yes. Welcome back. Today's fun. We got a returning guest on the show, and you actually sat down and talked to her this time, right?
Yeah, I did. I got to talk to her, and it was a great interview. Yeah.
Yeah, the amazing Tucky Williams comes back on to talk about her new movie, which is based, I believe it's based off of another series she did called Dagger Kiss, but this is the movie Enchanted Forest.
Right. Yeah. We talked extensively about that one and just her career and her whole process, what it's like, you know, being in COVID now with everything being on hold. And just she was just a very lovely person, very smart, very funny. We just got along great. Yeah, it was fun. I really enjoyed talking to her.
Yeah, she's fantastic. She's one of the ones at the end of the last episode. Kendrick and I always, we mentioned, hey, if you want to come back on, let us know. And she wanted to come back on to let us know. And it happened. And I was happy. And she's welcome to come on anytime, because I always enjoy listening to him, because I always feel like I'm learning something when I hear, when I hear Tucky talk, because she's got a lot to say.
Yeah, she does. Yeah, she's very eloquent. Just really smart businesswoman as well as a creative artist. And yeah, I'd love to chat with her again anytime.
Yeah. So without further ado, let's go ahead and just listen to Tucky and you, Melissa, in your own words.
Spoiler Country, and I'm Melissa Sercha. Today on the show, I'm thrilled to welcome filmmaker, writer, and actress, Tucky Williams. Welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm great. Feeling good, enjoying life.
Oh, good. Life's treating you well.
Oh, well, yeah, I'm getting to talk to you, right?
Awesome. Yeah, no, exactly. Great. Well, I definitely want to find more out about you and your career and everything. So,
Sure.
I would love to know how you got started in this crazy thing we call show business.
Oh, well, I started out acting, and I just decided there was a movie being filmed in my hometown. And I was like, well, let me try out for it and see what happens. I ended up getting there were two leads, and I ended up getting one of them. And I kept acting, I kept appearing in movies, but I wasn't getting the kinds of roles I wanted. So I made the decision to start making stuff myself. So that's what I did. And 10 years ago, made first episode of Girl Scene, and it changed my life.
Oh,
changed
yeah.
The course of my life radically.
Oh, I bet. Now, did you end up moving out of your hometown and moving to LA or New York?
No, I've stayed in my hometown in Kentucky, and it's been much better for me. I'm so glad I did that, because I've been able to stay in control. I talk to so many actors who basically their job is auditioning. And they're at the mercy of these casting directors. And I haven't had to deal with any of that. If I want a part in a movie, I just make the movie.
Yeah, you just create it. If the roles aren't out there for you, then you have to make them yourself.
That's right. That's right.
No, I think that's great. I think a lot more women are doing that in the entertainment industry because of the lack of diverse roles for women of color, LGBTQ. I mean, I think it's really important that if the roles aren't going to be there, then yeah, let's take it upon ourselves, right?
Exactly.
Awesome. So is that in part of what inspired you to become a filmmaker? Was there, or did you just like the control aspect of being able to create without any interruptions or
people? Well, I really, the inspiration originally with Girl Scene was artistic, but there just wasn't anything like that I could watch. And I was so inspired by stuff like that. So I decided to make it. And there still hasn't been anything quite like it. But it's its own thing, its own kind of a controversial little thing. And nice. That's what I wanted it to be. And I did that. And I don't know if that's, that answers your question, but
yeah,
I
think definitely.
It was important for me to kind of make this make this thing that I think represented the lesbian community as in a way that it hadn't been represented before or since.
Well, yeah. And for those who haven't seen it, what is the film about?
Well, my most recent film, or the one I've been talking about?
This girl scene. Yeah, what is that?
Girl scene. All right. Well, it started out as a TV series.
Oh, great.
And it's about the lives and loves of a group of young lesbian friends. And I'm one of them. And we all just have all sorts of misadventures. And it's sort of a drama comedy. But I think what it's known for is it's a controversial and non-mainstreaming portrayal of lesbians, meaning that I wanted to shock people. I didn't want to put lesbians in a wholesome, healthy light. I wanted to show, frankly, the best and the worst, because sometimes I think an attempt to be politically correct, we only portray minorities in their best light. But, you know, I think that ultimately does a disservice. So I wanted to make something that was actually going to frighten straight people and go, yeah. Oh my God, is it really like this? And maybe it's not so much like that in one person's life, but when you put it all together, all of these very scary things are happening out there in the world. And I brought all of that into it. So I got a lot of pushback from the lesbian community because they were saying, well, my life's not like that. Who lives a life like that? Who does that? And I was like, well, I do.
Yeah.
I've never done drugs in my life ever. I've never taking a hit of weed or anything, but the characters in the show did. So while I have had a lot of the misadventures, most of the misadventures actually that the characters have had, I've added elements that have had no part in my life. Drug use has definitely not been a part of my life, but it's definitely an element in the series. Yeah. So, you know, I pull stuff from my own life and from other people's lives and put it all in there.
And from your friends and people you meet. Yeah. Oh, that's great. And it makes it more relatable. Like you said, you can't please everybody, but there's...
Oh, no, you can't. Yeah. Yeah. No, you cannot.
Especially nowadays with the internet. Now they get to tell us all about how they don't like whatever, you know.
Yes.
Yeah. So, as far as pushback, but did you also have a lot of support as well for this series?
Oh, sure. Because people loved it right away.
Yeah.
You know, it was just instantaneous. I was overwhelmed by the support it received. First I was just shocked that people were watching it, that, you know, little old me could make something and it would have such an impact, and it did. And I was just really happily overwhelmed by the positive reaction I received. And it was, well, I mean, it was, you know, the internet's around. I was able to interact with fans, and I still am. I can just message me and I'll message them back. And there's been this great way to interact that hadn't been there before. And, you know, there were just so many messages of sincerity, like people saying they hadn't felt represented until they had seen the series. I mean, I get a lot of these messages. It kills me. People talking about how the show has had this tremendous impact on their lives.
Wow.
And then, you know, the thing that gets me the most is when parents write to me about their daughters and say, you know, oh my God, my daughter was suicidal until she saw your show. Wow. And, you know, this got her turned around. And so I think of those letters whenever I need to, whenever I need to realize why I'm doing this, because I think it started out as the thing of, I want to act, I want to make art, I want to do this. But then after that started happening, it definitely became about that and about, you know, I mean, it really, really did become about making the world a better place. Because once you realize you can do that, oh my God, you realize you can have an effect like that. I mean, forget about acting, forget about making art. Your goal then becomes becomes making the world a better place.
Yeah. And becoming an inspiration to people. And
that's, of course,
a huge role. Do you feel pressure though from that at any time to, you know, create a certain way now that you know you have this huge fan base?
That's such a good question. Nobody's asked me that, so I don't have an answer. Okay. That's a good question. Yeah, I think I do. I think I did at first because I wasn't used to having that kind of pressure. Mm-hmm. And now I'm just kind of live with it all the time, because it goes back to what you said. You can't make everyone happy.
Right.
So with the different stuff I do, I can't represent everyone. You know, I think there are a lot of people who may love girl scene, but they're not so much into the movie I just made, and vice versa.
Okay.
And it can't be all up to me to represent everybody. I do what I can, you know, the mm-hmm. Dagger Kiss movie represents sort of a demographic within the lesbian community that I really wanted to get in touch with. And so I think the people that people like that. And so, God, that's just such a good question.
Wow, thanks.
I think you're good at this. I kind of really threw me there.
Oh my goodness. Well,
good job. Thank you.
Yeah. You can think about it and come, we can go back to it later.
Oh, I appreciate that. That's great. That's
yeah, great absolutely. Absolutely. Well, and I also want to mention that you did win an award for best screenplay for Girl, Girl Scene at the World Independent Film Expo. How did that affect your career, and it did it change it? Did it?
Well, it's the only thing I've ever entered. So
you got to enter more. Yeah.
Right. It's the only thing I've ever entered. I mean, that feels good. It doesn't, yeah. It feels good to win something like that. I'll say that.
Yeah.
But, you know, you just got to keep everything in perspective. I think there was other stuff that meant a lot to me. I made the Advocates 50 Under 50, and that meant a lot to be acknowledged by, you know, journalists for yeah. what I had done. That one meant a lot too. So those were both pretty big ones for me.
Yeah. That's great. That's a huge accomplishment. People don't win awards for film every day, right?
Right.
And when you're acting and directing and writing, doing everything, wearing all the hats, is that challenging, like, to kind of switch those roles when you're on set?
It's more than challenging. It's overwhelming. Mm-hmm. It's really hard to, well, I mean, you have to have a tremendous support system. So I have that support system from my friend, but they're my friends. I mean, my friends, they help me make these movies.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to work with people you trust completely. Mm-hmm. And so I have them supporting me. My friends, Todd and Jerry and Mark, and my friend Grizzly, who rides a motorcycle and does security.
That's fun.
Oh God, this is wonderful. Plus he'll give you a ride home on his bike if you need one. And, so it's really hard to do everything. And I think throwing in acting on top of everything just really kind of, I mean, sadly, I feel like that falls to the back burner. And so then when I watch the movie, I go, oh, damn, that acting could have been better. Oh, that could have been better. Oh. And that's hard to watch because that's what I see when I watch the movie. I don't see what I was doing behind the scenes. I don't see all the other stuff. So what you're left with is the acting performance you gave. But yeah, it's pretty stressful. I mean, a story I like to tell is that we were shooting one day and my blood sugar got so low. I just went down.
Oh no.
I just went down. Yeah. And everybody was so cool about it. Like all the actresses, they went off, kind of did their own thing, entertained themselves for about 45 minutes. And then the guys, I remember I kind of just sort of, you know, it's like one of those, I don't know what you call those armchairs, but they're all cushioned all the way around. I just sort of fell sideways into one, like with my knees up and my head up. And I just stayed there for a long time. And they were great. Todd was like, he was kneeling beside me and they were bringing me candy, like M&Ms. And they were like actually feeding it to me.
You're like, this is the life. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, guys, I'm so sorry. And I was like, I'm good now. They're going, no. Let's just lie here a little bit. But yeah, I mean, but you know, the thing is, I remember that day. I was having so much fun that day. It was such a great day. I could tell you every scene we shot day. They were all fantastic. So that's the funny part, is it wasn't a day where I felt bad. It was a day when I was really enthusiastic and going for it and giving it even more than usual. And that's the day I just dropped.
Just burned out. Yeah. Well, there is something to say about, you know, there's stress, and stress can be good too. It doesn't have to necessarily be bad, you know, and good, even good stress can have an effect on your body. And, you know, especially I have a feeling you're very ambitious and you like to do a lot. So, you know, at some point your body's just like, okay, enough.
Right.
Well, it's good that you have people around you that are there to like pick you up, you know, essentially, and be patient and understand the whole process. That makes it so much easier, because you hear horror stories, tremendous. You know, about that's sets. Tremendous. So, yeah.
And then I feel like the actresses I work with, they don't know what I'm going through, but they know enough that they know they don't know what I'm going through. So it's kind of like if I'm doing something, or if I'm backing off, or if they've been waiting for an hour, they get it. They know I'm doing everything I can to take care of stuff. So they're not going, oh God, I could be doing a better job than she is. No, they get it. They don't know everything that's going on. No, but they trust in me that I'm doing everything I can to take care of them.
In the process. Yeah. And do you tend to work with the same people every time?
Okay. Lately. Yeah. it's a thing you learn over time is that, I mean, this sounds so, it's a negative, but it's also a positive, is that there are very few people you can trust. Mm-hmm. And so once you find those people, you have to hold on to them for dear life. Yeah. So I have that now. I have, you know, this core of people I trust implicitly, actually with my life. And I'm so fortunate and so lucky. So yes, that's lately cool. I have been working with the same group of people.
The same people. Have you been filming lately due to COVID? Has that put a damper on any filming?
Oh yeah. I don't want to film anything with COVID out there. I feel sort of an ethical obligation. I feel like there are industries that should be up and operating, but I don't think the entertainment industry is one of them.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to make anything for a long time, but my new movie that came out, we actually shot a couple of years ago. So it worked out perfectly. I had it in my back pocket, mm-hmm. ready for it to come out. And then this horrible thing happened, but it was like, well, I have a movie I can put out now. So in a way it was good that I had that to hold on to so that I was able to continue putting stuff out there for people to watch.
Yeah. And I think also because the world sort of, well, stopped for a minute, now it's just kind of slowed down. I think do you feel like it gives you more time to actually focus on like getting it out there, the marketing aspect and making those, you know, connections to get the most visibility as possible, as in like opposed to before when we were all running around like crazy people, you know, like eight hours a day doing this job, that job. I feel like with COVID, everyone's sort of at home. Do you feel like you have more time now to get it out there and your message out there?
Okay, that's good. Yeah, I definitely do. I have this really great publicist, Todd Kennedy, and he's
awesome.
He does all the work, right? So I just have to, he does all the work. And so all I have to do is, you know, call you, call great people like you and talk.
Do the fun stuff. Yeah.
Right. So he does that. He sets it up. And that's the first time I had a publicist before. And that was, you know, when the series started. And then he just started working, helping me out. Helping me tremendously. And so and he just started recently with these movies. And so I'm going, I really don't know what it would be like differently, but
yeah,
I know that he's done tremendous work in getting my story out there and getting people talking about the movie. And I'm really grateful to him for that. He's I've just never known anyone to be so devoted to his work.
That's awesome. That's really cool. And speaking of the movie, it's called Dagger Kiss, Enchanted Forest. Mm-hmm. What is that film about? I'm very excited. I heard it's like a fantasy sci-fi or...
Yeah, it's sci-fi fantasy. I think it's fantasy, but it gets labeled sci-fi. I'm like, okay, yeah, I guess it is. It's about a magical, mystical fantasy world, kind of like Lord of the Rings or Game of Thrones. And then it kind of through magical processes, these people end up on Earth. So it's about 50% of time spent on Earth, 50% of time spent in this sort of fantasy world. And the fantasy elements, it's great. You see them come from the setting. You usually see like a medieval forest and you see them come into modern day. Mm-hmm. And it works, you know, it jives. It's, there's nothing jarring about it. It shows how these things would play out in the modern world. And so it's great. It's about two girls in love. And one is a sort of a sorceress from a magical world, and the other is a human girl, a tough girl, a bad girl. And it's the story of their adventures and their lives.
I love that. I love when one character is magical and then the other character is human. That's a very common trope in paranormal romance and fantasy. Yeah, I really like that. So I'm curious. I want to see it. And I actually wanted to ask you too, because I don't know if this is still the case, but I did see on your Twitter that you were having some issues with Amazon and showing the film on Prime.
Yeah. So basically everything was going fine. And then out of nowhere, they said it was 18 plus. And I got to tell you, this movie is the tamest movie there's ever been. I even made an effort to put no swearing in it because I wanted, I guess it's like a young adult movie.
Okay.
Like not marketed for kids, but you know, I would say 13, like PG-13. I don't want 13-year-olds to be able to watch it. So it's really pretty tame. And you know, they said it was 18 plus. I'm like, what? And then they said, as soon as that happened, they took it off of Prime. It's still up there. It's just not on Prime. And you know, you don't have to be smart to figure out the reason why they might've done that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say, but if you want to infer that it's because, you know, go ahead.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's what I would take away from that, because I watch a lot of different streaming services, Amazon, Hulu, you know, all those. And there's some pretty racy stuff on there. I mean, if you look at just on Netflix, that movie that came out 365 days, you know, I mean, I liked it. It was entertaining. I'm not, you know, I like to watch stuff like that. But I think when someone is, like you're saying, if it's not racy, it's pretty tame to label it as that. It's clearly means they're just, you know, I don't want to say upset, but the whole idea of a lesbian film is apparently that in itself they just view as racy, is what I'm guessing.
Right.
Whether, you know, it be tame or not.
Right. And I think they go, oh, well, there are plenty of racy lesbian films online. And it's like, yeah, not, yeah, but not sweet stuff like this.
Yeah.
I mean, there are movies like, first one that comes to my head is Disobedience. Well, guess what? Mm-hmm. The lesbians get punished in the end. I mean, there's never just a, again, I feel like there's the only thing like this. This is just happy. They're lesbians. They kiss each other.
Mm-hmm.
They don't get punished for it. they're just, and you know, it's, so it's like, oh, they don't get punished. Well, we're going to have to punish them.
Yeah.
So I put up the email. I've asked everybody to write in and say how they feel about it. And I've had a tremendous response from the fans and even from people who don't know me. They've been great. They've been writing in and
oh, good.
Letting Amazon know how they feel about it.
Yeah, that's interesting what you're saying about the punishing aspect. I didn't even really think about it before, but you're so right. When you watch even some of those Hollywood blockbusters, it's always about a young, you know, lesbian basically getting beat up, and you know, there's no sweet, like you were saying, aspect to it. So it is refreshing to have something where we can watch and be like, oh, this is just a really nice story. It doesn't always have to be violent and filled with like a hate crime in it.
Mm-hmm. Right. And they all are. If you look at them, if you look at any, you know, film that's come out, they're always punished somehow in some way. Like it has an unhappy ending or one of them dies. One of them dies. That's always it. There's a kill your gaze trope.
Yeah.
It's especially true in lesbian movies. So this, I just wanted like a really gay movie, but they're not the least bit unhappy about it. And this, at the same thing I did with Girl, Girl Scene, it was like just the gayest TV series ever. But they never had like issues with their sexual orientation. There was never this moment where they're like crying and I don't know if I'm gay, all that stuff. You know, one of them did get shot, but she got shot because she was who she was. You know, she got shot because she was standing up for women, because she was so unabashedly gay. I mean, it was a metaphor that if you stand up, if you're who you are and speak about it, then you get shot. She survived though, but that was a useful thing that had a purpose, and that it was saying, hey, I mean, maybe it's a little bit autobiographical too, now that you're talking about it, but that when you do stand up for what's right, you get punished. But that, the point of that was saying, this is what happens. Whereas I feel like these other movies are saying, oh, well, the gays should be punished. Mm-hmm. And that's the lesson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's a very toxic perspective to, you know, basically project out there into the world.
Right. And so we try not to do that. We're trying to put the opposite out there.
I like that. Do you feel that there is still a double standard? Whereas if a movie or show comes out and the gay characters are men, that it's more accepted or more, you know, well-received?
I think it is more well-received for sure. I think people are a lot less threatened by male homosexuality than by female homosexuality. And I think the issue is that male homosexuality hasn't been sexualized by the mainstream. So it's kind of like gay guys are doing their thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Of course, nobody knows that women watch that like crazy. I mean, nobody knows that that's like fan fiction is basically just, you know, gay male stuff. But we're just going to most people don't know that. But like, people view lesbians as entertainment for men.
Mm-hmm.
That's a shame. That's a real killer. And what I can't get across to a lot of men is that lesbians like actually don't want to have anything to do with men, like at all.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of men don't really seem to be able to comprehend that. It's like, no, really, we don't want anything to do with you. Like, you're not a part of it. So that's why they write these weird stories. Like everywhere I go, there's some story where these lesbians want to have a baby. So they involve some man in the process. It's like men, they think about lesbians. They go, well, there has to be a way I can be involved. This is the only thing they can come up with. And it's like, no, really, lesbians don't want anything to do with guys.
Yeah. Well, I think
that's frightening to some men, because I mean, that kind of renders them useless.
Right.
Whereas I don't think women, a lot of women have already been told that they're useless, but I think it really terrifies men to have this met to, I mean, to them, they take it. I mean, they're not useless. Of course they're not useless, but not being needed sexually, men do feel like that makes them useless.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, even straight women sometimes don't want anything to do with men either, to be honest, you know. Oh. Okay. I think you get to a point where you're like, can I just be a woman in my own entity without, okay, you know?
I like that. I hadn't thought of that, but thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. Yeah.
Definitely. So yeah, and that was, you pretty much answered one of my questions. I was going to ask you, what kinds of barriers are you trying to break with your film? And obviously, I think you were, as you were saying, you want this different perception and to create new and refreshing types of art, if I gathered that correctly. And I think, which leads me to this question, what is one thing that people don't get about you and your work that you wish they would?
Oh gosh. Oh, good question. Good question. You're really throwing me with these good questions here. What's the one thing that they're probably like a lot of things. I think they think a lot of the stuff that seems unintentional is very intentional.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think there's a lot less respect for what I'm doing because it's gay. I feel like, I mean, I've met with, you know, a certain degree of success, and I think a lot of people go, oh, that's because she's doing gay stuff. And that's like, no, it's the opposite of that. It's made it harder to be successful. But I think a lot of people, it scares them. They're like, oh my God, this woman made something and people are watching it and it's successful. It won that award. And they're frightened by it. So they go, oh, it's just because it's a gay thing. And it's like, no, you don't understand. Doing the gay thing made it harder.
Yeah.
And the gay stuff makes it harder. So being a woman in the industry makes it harder. And being a woman in charge in the industry makes it harder. And then the whole fact that the content you're creating is gay and lesbian content, I mean, that's hard to distribute because people are afraid of it so much. Oh gosh, that question. You know, tonight I'm going to sleep on it. I'm going to wake up and I'm going to go, oh, that's what I should have said. Because there's so many things I want people to know that I haven't been able to say.
To get across. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll probably like email you, you know, 9 o'clock in the morning and be like, I thought of it.
Just send me an email. Yeah. We'll just, like, work it back in somehow.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and that you brought up a great point, being a woman as well. I mean, just straight right there, like, doesn't matter. Just being a woman in a room, you know, makes everything so much harder, just getting a seat at the table. And, you know, when you were first starting out, did you feel that sort of, what's the word I'm looking for? That feeling that we get, you know, from men that like, we don't take you seriously, or you're not supposed to be here, or you should just be a scream queen or an actress. But you shouldn't write, you shouldn't direct, you shouldn't have thoughts. You know what I mean? Did you feel that early on in your career, or do you still feel it now?
Okay, so this is a complicated answer. Okay. At the beginning, like, I'm just a really sweet-natured person. I just am, and I see the best in people, and you can call me naive. I think that's a great quality to have, being naive. I think that's wonderful. I think it means you have a good heart, so big I don't want heart. That to change about me. Yeah, so I don't want that to change. I'd rather life be harder, but know that I'm a good person. So saying that, when I first got started, I didn't realize anybody was going to have an issue with me just wanting to show up and do a good job.
Yeah.
So that was a surprise that, you know, people were making these movies and stuff and working with me, but they didn't want me to be successful. And I was kind of like, well, why are you here? And why am I only finding out about this now? The other thing is, a lot of people who have a problem with women and a problem with gay people, like, they're really good at hiding it. And so I was having people working, and then you'd find out they had huge issues with the women being in control. And, you know, and I'm going, well, why was he okay for so long? It's like, well, these predatory types, the ones who are successful, like, successful predators keep it a secret. And so this applies to, you know, in industry, in business and working, the people who are trying to take you down because you're a woman and are good at it. They try to gaslight you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been hard because I've just always tried to see the good in people always. And I'm just been like, oh, he's in a bad mood or he's had a rough day. It's kind of like it's had to have happen enough times that as soon as somebody does something the first time, I go, okay, we're aware of this now.
Yeah.
And we're keeping an eye on you. And then as soon as something happens a second time, and then also I have like zero, God, I have zero tolerance on the set for any kind of bullshit.
That's
great. If someone doesn't want to be there, then they don't get to be there. You know, it's like, okay, you know, hey, no problem. You're going home. You know, God bless you. We love you and want all the best for you. And we're not going to be angry with you because you're just going home now.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. You're going home from school.
You're on timeout.
So it's a place of like, whereas before I thought it was like conflict. If I had to get someone out. Mm-hmm. I just go, no, we don't need that person. We're set. And you know, it's funny, ever since I adopted that rule, I've kind of had this rule that like, if an actress showed up and she wasn't performing, mm-hmm. I didn't know people did that they showed up and like, didn't want to act. But now that I've had this rule that if you show up and you're not doing your job, you know, I'll just shut down production.
Yeah.
We're just shutting down production that day. I mean, there's no point in wasting anybody's time
and money.
No matter how much money it costs, we're just got to shut down. But as soon as I made that rule, it stopped being a problem.
Oh yeah. People get into shape really quick when you actually give them, you know, consequences. And that's, you know, interesting because I think as in an artistic, you know, career, I'm an author. And so we see this a lot where certain types of people that starting out, they don't realize that it's still a job and a business. And so if you have actresses, you know, coming to set and not wanting to act, it's like, well, then why are you here? Right.
Right.
Well, that's so what types of stories are you like, what's brewing in your writer brain? Like what kind of projects did you want to bring to life in the future?
Well, I mean, it's interesting because I don't know where the industry is going right now. I don't know mm-hmm. if there is going to be an industry. I know people mm-hmm. are starting to open up and make stuff, but I don't know that they're going to be able to continue doing that. So I don't know what the future looks like for the film industry.
Yeah.
I know when the Dagger Kiss movie came out, they were like, we want a third one, because they're counting the series as the first, the movie as the second. They were all going, we want a third, like really. And I was going, okay, I guess I will. But then it just seems like I don't know if that can happen. So yeah. I mean, in an imaginary world, I think my answer would be that what you just said about straight women don't want to have anything to do with men either.
Yeah.
I think that's fascinating.
Yeah.
So I want to talk about, you know, like what straight women go through in terms of in the way that lesbians are unrecognized.
Right.
I would want to like examine how straight women are unrecognized. Like I was telling somebody, like women don't want to have sex with their husbands. They just mm-hmm. don't. They want to cheat on their husbands and they want to have sex with like 22-year-old men.
Yeah.
And you know, I tell this to guys and guys like their mouths just fall open. I mean, it's like I'm telling them something that they actually have never thought of before. Right.
Right.
So I think there's stuff about women's like a sexuality that I just feel like it's just gone completely, you know, women
yeah.
are programmed to cheat way more than men are. I didn't know that.
I didn't either,
I had to live my entire life before I found that out. That like for the survival of the race, to spread the race out and make, you know,
genetically
diverse group, women are programmed to cheat. And it's just like, I guess straight women have just been slut shamed into not doing that. And so I wanted to, that had been where my head was, is I've always wanted to represent, you know, like these underappreciated groups, these women who have been mm-hmm. under-recognized. And I'm like going, wait, you know, straight women have this whole thing going on and nobody's talking about it.
That's so true.
And I mean, you saying that now, it's like, that kind of confirms like, yeah, this, what you just said, that kind of confirms. Yeah. We need to talk about that. Cause there's a lot going on there with the straight girls. I really want to represent them some.
It really is. And I read an article a few months ago about women in their 60s now that are wanting to not get married and live alone. They still want to be in a relationship with a man or date, but they don't want to live with men anymore. And I find that really interesting that more and more women are wanting to sort of like keep their own house, you know, their own space, yeah. but then, you know, still have, you know, a romantic relationship, I guess. So that, you know, has completely changed from the dynamic that we were all like spoon fed, you know, from the 1950s of the, you know, two parent household and the wife is the stay at home, you know, mom. And I mean, obviously a lot's changed since then, but it's just interesting now that it's going in the opposite direction of where they like don't even want to live with someone anymore.
Yeah. There's so much going on that nobody's talked about. Nobody even knows about. There's a lot of material to mine there and I'd love to do that.
That would be awesome. Definitely to explore that. Yeah. Yeah. No, there's so much there. And yeah, I think with straight women, you know, as you were saying earlier, how like a lot of men think that lesbian films were created for, you know, their entertainment only. And this, it's even in just, you know, real life, my best friend is gay. And when her and her fiance are out, you know, not all the time, but there have been instances where, yeah, they're being affectionate with each other. And then, you know, straight man will be like, oh, hey, like, let me jump in on that. They're like, no, this isn't about you. Go away, please. Mm-hmm. So have you ever experienced that? Like just kind of when you've been out and about and.
I'm kind of, well, I just said how nice I was, didn't I? But I really send out that vibe of, you know, leave me the fuck alone.
Yeah.
I don't know how it started that, but you know, but I mean, I know that happens to women and that bothers me, but I mean, no, that hasn't happened. And maybe that's just because it just hasn't happened. So, yeah. But I really do give off the vibe of don't fuck with me.
Yeah.
You know, all the time, which is weird because I don't mean to, but I guess that works. I guess it's vibes, you know, you said as soon as you lay down the law, people behave.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I send out the vibe that I don't want to put up with anyone.
Yeah, I think I do too.
I'm right. Oh, good.
Yeah, no, I'm right there with you. I'm like, I have this, I don't know, I like to call it like resting bitch face, I guess, but it's like, please go away. Don't approach. Approach at your own risk. No.
Right. Well, I think I'm approachable. I just think somehow people know not to give me any kind of grief.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's the part that's, you know, that's kind of sucks about it because I'm obviously like you, I'm a very nice person too, but I feel like as women, we have to do that sometimes. And we go out, it's almost like our, you know, our shield or our armor,
yeah.
you know,
yeah, to unfortunately, yeah.
protect our space and stuff. Yeah. Well, so because the industry is on hold right now, what are you doing to fill your time? Like what's a day in the life like?
Oh, well, I think a lot of artists shut down completely and weren't able to do anything because we thought, oh, we're going to have all this free time. And I mean, I was even talking to the lady who does my hair and she said, she even shut down. She said, I'm an artist. Mm-hmm. You may not think of me as an artist, but I am an artist. And I completely shut down and I couldn't function. And when I started working again, it was difficult. So there's mm-hmm. something about it. I think we need to be able to, and have like calm and peace around us so that when we sit down at 3 o'clock in the morning to write, we can just let it go. And it, you know, I just write. And yeah. I don't know where I'm going with it, but I sit down and write. So for me to say what I'm writing, I mean, it wouldn't mean anything because I don't know where I'm going with it. But
yeah,
you know, right now that's just what I do. I just sit down and write. That's what you do when you're a writer. That's what you train to do. And mm-hmm. I don't know what's going to happen with it, but you know, people always say, just write, just keep writing, keep writing.
Yeah.
And so that's what I'm doing.
Yeah. No, it's therapeutic. I mean, there's different types of writing. Like you said, there's journaling, there's writing when you're actually working on a project or there's outlining or there's just, yeah, like writing sprints. I don't know if you've ever done those where you just set a timer and you just write, you know,
I did that the other night.
Yeah.
The other night.
It's great because just you can unload. It's similar to, there's a book by Julia Cameron called The Artist's Way. I don't know if you've ever read it. It's insane. It's a really great book. It came out, I want to say in maybe the 80s, but it's still a very popular book with creatives. And she has this whole thing called the morning pages where the minute you wake up before you do anything, you just write for like 3 pages worth of stuff, just literally whatever comes to your mind. And it's sort of like info dumping. So you can kind of start the day with like fresh perspective.
Oh, that's fantastic. I like that.
It's really fun. Really good. Good for the soul.
Yeah. It sounds great. I'll have to try that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, this has been so fun talking to you. I could literally...
I know. Like I said, I'm going to think of an answer to that question. I'm going to get that email at 9 a.m. I'm like, I've got it.
That's great. No, send it to me. We'll re-record it. No.
All right.
Add a little scene in. Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. Well, just to kind of finish up, I wanted to ask for, you know, for people that are listening, you know, what advice would you give? I know we're in COVID, so it's a little different, but if in a perfect world, what advice would you give to, you know, young people that want to do what you do?
Well, I think this applies to every industry, and I'm going to speak how it applies to women, but I think men can use it if they want to. But this is specifically directed at women, but men can apply it. But when you're a woman, people are going to do everything they can to drag you down. So don't be afraid of that and know that that is going to happen. Mm-hmm. That the nice people are going to turn on you and try to drag you down. That's just the thing that is going to happen. So be prepared for it. And you have to be prepared to fight every step of the way tooth and nail. If you're going to be in movies, you have to be prepared to do all of the work. So girl sent me an email. She was like, how do I get started? A lot of people send me that message, but this one, I don't know. She seemed nice. She seemed like she really wanted an answer. And so I wrote back to her with an answer about what she needed to do. And she wrote back, she was like, okay, I'm good. Thanks. Like she didn't want to give them. But I was really honest and told her what was up. And then I guess she just decided it wasn't for her. So you have to be prepared to do everything. And you have to be prepared to get hate for it. You have to be prepared for grief, for people lashing out at you for absolutely no reason.
Yeah.
So you got to be able to take this really tough stuff and know that it will come your way. So it's got to be worth it to you. And I think that's why a lot of people drop out, is because they can't handle that kind of criticism, that kind of stress. So if you have that mentality that you're going to take it on, do all of the work and, you know, be able to put up with whatever people give you, whatever people throw your way, then absolutely you can make it. If you have that attitude, you can do anything.
That's awesome. That's great advice. That might be some of the best advice I've ever heard.
Thank you.
Yeah. No, that's very, because it's real. It's authentic and you're not trying to sugarcoat it. It's a tough business, but at the same time, it's not impossible. So yeah, I think that's great advice.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, thank you again for coming on. This has been so much fun. I really want to make sure that everybody writes letters to Amazon.
Email's easier.
Email, yeah.
I say write people to write letters these days.
They write letters, yeah. Let me just age myself now. And then also, so they can see it on Amazon. It's just not on Prime. Is that correct? Like they can rent it.
Right, right. But we're going to get it back on Prime. We're going to get there.
All right. And it's Dagger Kiss, Enchanted Forest. And then also check out Girl, Girl Scene. And that is also streaming.
And that's still on Prime. So you can watch that one for free.
Okay, good. I'll watch that one first. Because since it's the first one and I can get an idea of your style and everything. But yeah, go on Amazon, check her out. You have a website as well. And that's
a bunch of websites. They'll all point you toward where you can watch the movie.
Okay, perfect. Awesome. So what's one of the main website we can find you on?
TuckyWilliams.com. You can also go to GirlGirlScene.com and you can go to DaggerKiss.com. Nice. So have all three covered.
Nice. Yeah. And you're on Twitter as well. Great. Yep. Well, it's been awesome. Thank you so much. And yeah, Tucky Williams, everyone. Thank you so much. Have a good night.
And we're back. That was amazing.
Thank you. Yeah, it was such a fun interview. Like I said, I could talk to her for hours. I think we did talk for, I don't know, what was it, an hour or so?
It's over an hour, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. She was great.
Yeah. So as always, Tucky, if you want to come back on, talk about more stuff, if it's just a movie you're promoting or a show you're promoting, or if you want to just come on and shoot the shit, let us know. We're happy to have you come back.
Yeah, absolutely.
It'd be fun. And Melissa, again, as always, you know, you do great on these interviews. I love hearing the questions you ask. Because like, as I've said before, we have 5 people who do interviews on the show and each one of us ask questions a little differently, but we all have I think we all have a good sense of asking questions that aren't normal questions and asking questions that lead into people opening up. And it's cool to see the way each one of us does that. And I love it.
Thank you. Yeah, I enjoy it. And she was, as you just heard, she was kind of like, oh, these questions are so thought provoking, which I like to hear that because,
you know, there's a lot of interviews that they do all the time. And I think, you know, it probably gets repetitive after a while. So I'm glad that, you know, we can give them something a little different.
So if you come on Spoiler Country, you're out there, we'll ask you questions nobody else asks you, we promise. We'll make them ridiculous too if you want.
Yeah.
Well, Melissa, I think that's a show. I think that does it for today. So, oh my God, it's pouring down rain outside. I thought I was hearing something like coming to my office, but it's just like the rain in the window just smashing the window behind me. Weird.
Rain in Seattle? So weird.
I know, it's so odd. It never rains here. But it's loud enough to it freaked me out a little bit. I was like, what's going on? Anyways, if you guys like that, and you like that, what you listen to there, and you like hearing Melissa talk and Tucky talk and other people on the show talk, or if you want to hear more of my voice, go to spoilerverse.com and check out all of the back issues of Spoiler Country. Or go to your podcatcher on your phone, look up Spoiler Country, and then just click download all. Download all the episodes, because, you know, that'll be fun for us. And, you know, while you're on spoilerverse.com, check out all of our other, you know, back issues and all the other shows we have. We have so many other shows. We have originally Geekdoms, who's doing a bunch of new stuff right now. We've got more of my voice with my wife on Haphazard Adventures, and about 15 shows for you to check out. And there's other stuff on the website. What other stuff is up there, Melissa?
Well, we've got book reviews, comic book reviews, television, pop culture, just random, you know, articles about what's going on and the different fandoms going on right now in comic book land.
Yeah, so much fun stuff. We got a store. You can go to our store and pick up a t-shirt or a hoodie or a face mask or a coffee mug, or do be like me and buy a giant 8-foot tapestry to put on your wall, because I did that and I don't know why, but I have one. I have a Spoiler Crunchy tapestry. It's like 8 feet long and it's pretty awesome.
You can get one.
Yeah, it's so cool. I bought it for a background, but I actually put it as a giant flag in my garage. But do all that. Every time you buy stuff from the store, it helps out the site, helps pay for, you know, the content and for what we do here, because this stuff's not free for us, but it's free for you. So do that, help us out. And then also, if you want to come chat with us, you can do it on Twitter or wherever, but if you want to chat with us directly, go to scpod.us/discord and join our public Discord server. You can chat with all of us, answer the question of the day that Casey does, or, you know, pretty soon we're going to be doing some giveaways. Once it comes to the holiday season here, we're going to be doing some giveaways for some fun stuff. So make sure you do that. Once again, scpod.us/discord. Now, listen, there's only one more thing to do before we end this.
There is.
In Ocean's a podcast.
We are Cthulhu.
And as Cthulhu compels you to do,
open the mind
and read more.